We're going to take a look today, as your handouts say, reaching children in the community. There's a tendency in church to not go outside the church and just kind of hang with what's going on inside the church, and yet we've got a lost world that is in need of Jesus desperately. And so we're going to look at some aspects, some ways, some considerations of which that can be done, and see a few videos, short ones, explaining some of what we're talking about. And hopefully you'll get a different insight to what can be done in regards to reaching children in the community. The first one we're going to look at, you can turn your notes to, is the park outreach. And in your notes, you've got two basic outlines. And when we go and look at your notebook to correct them, to see what was done, these are the sheets we're going to be looking at for this class. Do you have anything on them? Just so that you're aware of that. Because you've got other notes we will be talking about them. You may want to underline some things that we've talked about or in those notes, but these two pages are what we're going to be looking at. And on that first park outreach page, it says director notes. And I'm going to refer you to the director notes that are already printed up for you in your notes. So we're going to go through that and just take a look at this idea of VBS Park Outreach. The vision behind it is to give unchurched children in your community the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ and to grow in Him. That's the whole goal behind doing these park outreaches. They aren't necessarily set up for discipleship, although in a brief way they can be, but the idea behind it is to go to people that have never heard Jesus Christ or about Jesus Christ. And it's pretty awesome if you've ever done anything like this anywhere where you're talking to someone that's never heard the name of Jesus, or maybe they heard the name but they didn't know anything about Him. And when you give that gospel message to them, their eyes just light up and they just become overjoyed to receive the Lord. And it's a pretty phenomenal experience when it goes on. But that's the vision behind it. But the goal, there are millions of children that have never heard of Jesus Christ. And right here we've got a little bit of information about that. The question is, who's going to tell them about Jesus? Are we going to stay comfortable inside the church? You know, it's a lot of work to go outside and do these kind of things. Matter of fact, most of the time it's major work to go to the world, to go out into the community, to present the Lord to them in a large function kind of a setting. You can go into parks one day or as many as 5 days. I mean, you can go in more than that, but oftentimes we limit what the Lord wants to do. You could go into a park every Saturday, depending on the city, and we'll talk about why it depends on the city. If you become very organized, then you've got all kinds of issues that we'll look at. If it's just a handful of people hanging out and doing a craft and that can share about the gospel message, it's pretty simple to go in to a park. But go over some of the benefits of having a VBS park outreach. At our church, when we've gone out, we've been doing it for 6 years or so now. What I have found is there's a place for almost everybody in the body at the outreach. And so it becomes very church-oriented. At first, it was kind of children's ministry-oriented, but it turned out to be church-oriented. And we have people that are helping that are our parents with their kids in the program, to people that their kids have grown up and have their own families, helping, and everybody in between. We do the outreach in consideration of 5-year-olds to 12-year-olds. So we find that the youth like to get involved in it. Our 50-plus group loves getting involved with it more and more. We're having a lot of 50-plus people helping out, a lot of them helping with the security. But so the benefit is church-oriented for sure, but the greater benefit is that we're going to the largest, if you would, missionary group in the world. And we oftentimes don't realize that it's a mission field, and the harvest is just massive. It's ready. It's waiting because of what we've talked about before, the percentages. Now, here I've got 85% of children between the years 4 and 13. You've heard me say 4 and 14. There's basically been two major studies in this area. Back in the 1960s, one of the studies that was established is where you come up with the 4 to 14. But there was a recent study done in 1999. They found that 85% amount of people was really between 4 and 13, which is not surprising as we see different things taking place, whether you want to call it indoctrinating or however you want to term it, it's becoming more and more proficient, and we're seeing children go different ways earlier and earlier than they've ever done before in their lives. So between the years 4 and 13, you've got a missionary field that is phenomenal, that will change lives forever. Taking the good news of Jesus Christ to them is the goal. It's the whole thing. I just turned the page to getting started. And that's the what, when, where, how, whys of the event. We're going to look at that briefly. And we'll watch the short DVD presentation of what we're talking about. I'm going to go turn that on. We're going to hit the lights and watch that for the next 4 minutes, and then we'll get back into our notes.
Spirit who will lead, a Father who
That's our VBS in the park. So maybe it'll help seeing that when we talk about this a little more, what's going on there. There's a lot that transpires. You've obviously got to be organized. You don't know how many children are going to be there from day to day. You have people that register. But the whole setup is to get people walking through the park, people visiting the park, to want to become a part of that. And it's fun. We had a father-son last year walking through the park, and he definitely had every sign and was very open about being a gang banger. But his son's eyes got captured. And it was like that he was not planning on putting his son in anything like this. And so he walked through, and the son was begging him. And so it's set up in a way that it's very appetizing, very friendly, very free. And so he ended up saying, okay. And so his son got to go through everything for the 3 hours, and he went through it with him. And there was a real hard edge about him in the very beginning in that morning. But throughout those 3 hours, different people come and talk and minister to him. And he saw his son enjoying himself, getting things, being able to do things. And he was just like, this doesn't cost anything. And, you know, we have a large budget for it. A lot of churches couldn't even afford to put it on, but we see it very worthwhile. But by the end of the day, he had opened up in so many ways to different people. Just said, you know, I used to go to church, but I don't go to church anymore. And, you know, just laying out all those different things. But the way we've got it designed is through the whole three-hour period, there are so many times, periods, where they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's designed so if a child comes through for 1 hour, they will hear about the gospel. If a child comes through for 3 hours, they're going to hear about the gospel a whole lot in many different ways. And so he was able to participate with his son just sitting along his side. And by the end of the day when we were doing the worship time and having the different events, you'd see his son sitting up against his chest as he's down there on the ground in the grass. And he's like enjoying it. He's smiling. His son's just having a wonderful time. Those two would never go inside a church. But they were able to come to a place where they heard it multiple times what they would hear in a church. And so it's a tremendous, tremendous outreach to the community. And we have kids riding their bikes through the park and going, hey, what's this? And we have signs put up that says free, just sign up here, you know, kind of a thing. And they'll put their bikes to the side and go through it for sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes the whole time. Sometimes they'll come back, sometimes they don't come back. But it's still an opportunity to present the gospel. And it's a great, we've just watched so many kids give their life to the Lord. I was involved with Vacation Bible School many years ago at a very large church. And we would find 800 or 900 kids coming through it at the church. And I was so frustrated. I was like really wanting to stop doing it because the fruit of it was not apparent. I mean, there's obviously fruit in anything you do, but I couldn't see it. I didn't hear about it as far as salvation. Out of a group of 800 to 900 kids, we'd have maybe 10 kids give their life to the Lord. 1 year we had one, and I doubted that one after talking with the people. And so I thought 800 or 900 people, 1 to 10, sometimes 15, would give their life to the Lord. And I said, Lord, this isn't right. You know, what's going on with this? And so I was getting ready to just close up shop, not have a VBS program, and just say, you know what, it's just a waste of money and time. And I was in our bookstore during Vacation Bible School program getting something, and one of the employees there pointed somebody to my direction, and we got to talking, and he was probably 28 or 29 years of age, and the word VBS got brought up. And at that point in time, he just lit up. And I didn't know who this person was. And he goes, oh, VBS. is so awesome. I'm going, I mean, mind you, I'm having this conversation with God. We're done, Lord. This thing is not going to ever happen again. And here I get this guy, you know, oh, VBS. I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, oh, man, I got to go to VBS for 1 week. You know, and it wasn't in the park. It was at a church. And he said, my parents are atheists, hated God. Matter of fact, they are still atheists and still hate God. But they let me go for 1 week, and I gave my life to the Lord. And he says, I'm still, obviously, walking with the Lord. They aren't. But that 1 week changed my life. And after we got done with the conversation, I said, all right, Lord, I know I'm slow, but I'm not that slow. I am not. I mean, you just know. So we will continue. And so I just started praying, Lord, how can we change this? And for a number of years, nothing happened. And so I left that church, went to another church. And then after that, I went to another church, which is where I'm at now, and they hadn't a VBS program at all. And so over the course of time, the Lord's, I have some friends that have been doing the park outreach at different churches and stuff, and I thought, wow, this is an opportunity at the new church that they've never done VBS. And so we approached the pastor to see what he thought about going into the park, and it was like, oh yeah, that sounds great. We're going to do our vacation Bible school program in the park. So we do. But it's kind of got a, it's like a coin, it's flip side. At church, we call it our vacation Bible school program in the park. But when we get to the park, we don't use the term VBS. It's called the Children's Festival. Now, the reason for that is I didn't want to bring VBS. I didn't want to bring the church to the park, to the community. What I wanted to do was bring Jesus to the park, to the community. So I don't want to look like a church. So that has been off and on struggle for people, because when we start getting people that want to help, they've got this concept of vacation Bible school, and we don't look anything like it. And so they're wondering, well, when's this going to happen? When's that? Who's planning for this and who's doing that? And where's all the props and all the things that go up and all the time that you spend, you know, millions of hours with that kids sometimes don't even care about, you know? And vacation Bible school oftentimes is created for the adults, for the people, not the little kids. Little kids get confused oftentimes by the themes. And they're going, well, what's that kangaroo got to do with God? You know, the most you, the closest you can get is like, well, God created it. I don't know. You know, and so you got to carry out all these different themes. And I've seen it. The kids will work through our themes. But so we started thinking, okay, what is it that we need to do in the park to meet the needs of the kids? And that's where I challenge everyone, anyone that's listening to this, that's where you find out what you're supposed to do. Find out what the child wants. Find out what meets their need. So we went off and we started praying about that and thinking about that. And they like to have fun. They like to, excuse me. Be an interesting class, I think. They like to make crafts, good crafts, crafts that they can keep, not crafts that they're going to throw away and put into the big black hole of crafts. They like to do games. They like to be entertained. And they do like to hear about God. And so we break it into three groups, age range groups. And in that process, we're meeting their needs. We've got a game time, we've got a craft time, and so forth. And what we have found, and we're going to go back a little more in detail in some of this, what we have found is that the kids absolutely, the time flies. They just have such a wonderful time. They want their friends to come. It's a place where they feel like they can invite their friends. And we see the numbers keep on growing as each day goes on. And by Wednesday, we've jumped up 50, 60, 70, 80 kids sometimes from the very beginning. And each year it's grown a little bit. We find ourselves at about 250, 270 kids a day that come through there. And I really don't pray for a whole lot more. I'm thankful that that's the number because the park that we could get because of some restrictions with the city, it would be tough if we got over 300 kids. But every year that we've done this, there has never been less than 100 commitments made to Jesus Christ in that week. Every year. We have seen over 500 children give their lives to the Lord. Now, these are not repeats because I have a whole system of number. A child gets a number when they start, and I keep them year after year after year. And we have ways that we are keeping that from happening to where, like at the Bible study time, this is really key. It helps in the classroom also. Children like to reaffirm their faith. So every time you ask a child, have you given your life to the Lord? As far as they're concerned, what you're saying is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you want to follow Jesus Christ? And they're thinking in terms of course I do. And so they raise their hand. And so you'll get multiple hands every week. The same child will raise their hand. So this is how we take care of that problem. And it does take care of probably 95% of those kids that, I mean, that's so cool. They want people to know that they're a follower of Christ. And so that's why they keep putting their hand up every week. We say, okay, some of you have given your life to the Lord and you're following Jesus. And I want you to raise your hand right now. So they get their hands up. They've done what they wanted to do, and that's let everybody know that they love the Lord. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands down. And I'm going to talk to those that haven't done this, and they didn't raise their hands. So then when you ask for a commitment to Jesus Christ, the hands that go up are the ones that are new commitments. So every week or whenever it takes place, I have the teachers make sure they go through that process. Well, we do that at Vacation Bible School also. And after going through for 10 years, probably not seeing more than 60 kids give their life to the Lord in VBS, and that's like close to 8,000 kids in that period of time, to see 250 kids a day come through and then to watch over 100 of them receive the Lord, it's phenomenal. Now, I also understand that a lot of these kids are from the community. Almost half the kids, if not sometimes more than half, are out from the community and don't go to our church. So it makes it a double blessing. It reinforces it with our own children at our own church, but then it also affects the community. So it's quite a blessing. Now I want to go through some of these getting started things just real briefly. Where are you going to do it? What's going to be the theme? We'll talk about some of that in a minute, the curriculum and so forth. When will it happen? You know, what's going on around? You have to ask the question, what's happening in the community? Are there major events going on that same week? Because if there are, then it's going to be a hassle because people are going to go to those main events and won't be freed up to come to the outreach. And so you have to kind of see what's happening there. Is it a rainy season? California, it's easy. You can almost have an event almost any time you want, or you're back in the Midwest or different parts, you never know if it's going to be raining that day or not. So that becomes problematic in some ways. Where is it going to take place? Best place is start on like if you go on Saturdays or during the week to the parks, find out where the kids are. Because where the kids are means that's the place where they'll come. And because they don't drive. I mean, they may have a bicycle, but so you find out where the kids are hanging out, and that's where you want to do it, where it's busy. I have to ask the question, are the bathrooms? Because that's very important. You're there for more than 10 minutes. Is there water? Those kind of things are important. And, again, I will not be going over all of these things And another thing to understand is that all of this is up on calvarycurriculum.com. When I say all of this, this is only a portion of it. There must be 100 pages devoted to doing a park outreach up there. It shows the same video that you saw. And it has all the paperwork that you can download into just doing it yourself. So there's a massive amount there. Park consideration, when you go into a park, when do they mow the lawn? When do they water the lawn? We've experienced that. We were setting up and all of a sudden the sprinkler systems go on. You know, and sometimes we feel like they were purposely put on because of some of the issues that we have dealt with actually we're finding out one individual. But so what do you do at that point in time? And I'll give you a little tip here. If you ever go out and do a park outreach, have trash cans available, the big ones, 33-gallon, 40-gallon, whatever they are, because when those sprinkler systems go on, all you got to do is cover them, and it'll get you through it. So you'll make a kind of a pond of a mess, but at least everybody doesn't get drenched. And it's just a side note there. That was free. We try and we do keep the park clean. We leave it cleaner than when we got it, and it's a great testimony to the park staff that's there. Why do we do it? Main vision is to save kids. We want to save the children. They need to know about the Lord. It's amazing how many kids don't know the truth, and it gives us an opportunity to be able to share that with them. Let's go kind of through the park outline sheet that I gave you, the Bible studies. We make our own Bible studies. One year the theme was John 3:16. Sometimes we'll find themes of certain books, but we want to present to them the Lord. We want them, and so it's really neat how it goes. We break up into three groups, five-year-old and six-year-old. That's five in first grade, kindergarten and first grade. Then we have second through third grade and fourth through sixth grade. And in the video, each of those groups, it shows you the size of it. Our fourth, fifth, and sixth grade group was like 130 kids that were going through the Bible study. But it's organized in a way that it works well. So up on Calvary Curriculum, you can get some of the Bible studies we've done before. They're free to download. But it's we do an age-appropriate study for each of them. The next thing is advertisement. We have flyers, and we use balloons, and we use signs. Cities have ordinances for signs, and so sometimes it becomes problematic, and you've got to check with them. But the reason we use balloons every year because it is just a familiar thing that doesn't necessarily look like a church. You see them at a bowling alley. You see them everywhere. And so we use balloons, and we use the wordless book theme, and so we'll put them into the five colors and put them all over the park, put them on the signs, so that whenever the kids are there, they're seeing that whole wordless book thing in their minds, as we will reiterate that throughout the VBS program. So we take flyers out. I didn't make a bunch of them off, but you can pass these around. And all they are, these have never really changed over the last 5 or 6 years. They look the same. They've been updated in design, but the design is still the balloons, same wording, everything that goes on with that. When we hand these out, we'll hand out 3,000 or 4,000 of these around the park area. When the kids see the balloon, they recognize it, and they go, "Oh, you're back!" And so they get all excited. This is not for the parent. This is a handout for the child. And it says, Children's Festival. And it gives the dates. Kids, you are invited, ages 5 to 12, free. And it says where it's at and what we do. Now, we do get hassled. Our signs are kind of similar to this. We get hassled from people that live around the park went and they say Bible stories. If we took the Bible stories off this, we'd have no hassles. Oh, you're going to have snacks and music and games and crafts. Oh, that's great. But the minute you say Bible stories, oh. But we are overwhelmingly welcomed by the community. There's always those people that don't like the idea of God. But we feel like that it's important that it's on those and that they see those and they understand it. So year after year, the kids get those. Our junior high and high school hand them out. And we typically only hand those out 2 to 3 to 4 days before the first day of the event. Because with a child, if they're available, they'll be there. If you hand them out 2 weeks earlier, they may get thrown away, put underneath another paper, and forgotten. And so we found that if we start on a Monday, we'll hand them out anywhere from the Thursday before, Friday, Saturday kind of a thing. And it's been very beneficial. We've got banners, and that's how we do our advertising. We've tried different things. We've tried to go into schools. We've been allowed to, you know, post and do all kinds of stuff with that. But we find that word of the mouth and those flyers are probably the best way to communicate it. Crafts. We make crafts that the kids like and want. We have a large budget for the crafts. And the bracelets that we've made, we make bookmarks, all different kinds of bookmarks. Here's an example of one of them that we do. It depends on the age of the child, and it's just a bookmark that they can put into their Bible. But every craft that we do every day has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the teachers are sitting on the inside of the tables. There's 4 or 5 kids standing up at the table, and they're making those crafts, and all the teacher has after about 5 minutes of explaining what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to make it is to talk about the gospel colors. And so it is a wonderful time. I actually think it's a better time to share with the kids than the Bible study time. It might sound crazy. The Bible study time is good fruit, but the craft time is setting up the soil, if you would, for that Bible study time, because kids like to ask questions. And where do you go as a child to ask about God? Who can you ask about God? I mean, you can't go to the grocery store and ask somebody about God as a kid in your mind. I can't go to the hardware store and ask somebody about God. If I go to a park, I don't know if anybody knows about God. So now the craft people are there talking about God, asking, do you have any questions about him? And they'll ask about, you know, when you do the yellow color, the gold color, well, what's heaven like? They've never been able to ask that question to anybody. What's heaven like? And you say that God loves me and he wants me to be there? I've never heard that before. And so you've got some kids that like to ask questions, other kids are kind of more shy, but they're all at the table hearing it. And they're hearing all these questions throughout the whole craft area being asked about God and God being talked about. And they come back the next day and the next day. And what I've been told by many people is the same kids will come back to those tables where they start identifying with who they first started doing the crafts with. But it's an awesome half hour for those kids, because a child will like to ask questions but not have to have eye contact and work on their craft, but they're listening to everything that's going on. And we have kids give their life to the Lord during the craft time, but I ask the teachers that are helping there to try to keep that to a minimum. But when a child is so excited and says, how do I do it? You really can't go, well, wait till you go in the Bible study time. And so we do have kids giving their life to the Lord during that time. But we put a lot of energy and effort into the crafts. Registration has to be extremely organized. It's extremely important. And we do a lot of preparing for that before we get there, but it helps us keep the kids organized. We give all the kids name tags in the 3 color groups for their age range. So from a visual, if a child's out somewhere wandering, I know what group they're from, and I can immediately get them back to that group if that would ever happen. On it is their name, first name, and then we have a number put on that. So it's a color code name tag with their name and a number. That number is on the master list of registration. I'll give you an example. 1 year, this is the only time we've had to call 911. 1 year we had a child just kind of peel over backwards from the craft table and fell backwards and just landed because of heat exhaustion. And I happened to be walking by going, she's not looking real good. You could just see her face, and all of a sudden she went down. Craft gal came around, and we started attending to the situation. Because of the way we were organized, I told someone to go to the registration table. Here's the number. Here's the color. Get me the phone number. No, actually, I had them call. They were there calling the parent within 15 seconds of the child going down. We were ministering to the child, doing a little bit of spraying. You don't give them water at that point. And we were spraying over their skin just to get more liquid back into. And I'm on the phone talking to 911. And we had it all happening within 20 seconds. Parents were contacted because we could go immediately back, find that information out. And the paramedics got there. The parents got there. And it was just, it was awesome. Organization in registration is extremely important, especially when you're outdoors. And more of this is explained throughout all of the paperwork for the park outreach, but I won't go into that anymore. Games, have fun, use age-appropriate games. Again, there's a lot of games on Calvary curriculum that you can pick from and choose. Security is very important. They're the eyes of what's going on. It's actually very safe. I had a parent ask me last week, you know, how safe are the park outreaches? Because I haven't felt comfortable bringing my two little kids. I said, they're more safe than inside any building. Visual is everywhere, and we have security everywhere. And with the name tags and what they're instructed and how to do, it's absolutely safe. We have bathroom coverage, security. Kids aren't allowed in the bathrooms until an adult's gone in to make sure there's not another adult in there. And then we don't allow any adults in, even though it's a public restroom. We don't allow any adults in until our kids are out. And we've never had an adult upset about it. And you know, we cover the grounds, and it's well maintained. But its security is important. And snacks, keep them simple. We do VBS in a very hot city. And so we usually use some kind of Autopop, popsicle kind of a thing for them. Volunteers, you need volunteers. But year after year, we have an average of about 120 people come out and are waiting to come out because over the years they've seen such a blessing. The 5-1 helpers, those kids, those little kids will wander off. So we have a group of about 6 to 8 adults that go around wherever those kids go in whatever group, and they just kind of stand back and let them do their thing, but they're watching to make sure they don't wander off. Very important part of it. Puppets, if you have puppets, they're great to have, but you can't develop a puppet team to do a park outreach. There already needs to be a puppet team. There's too much work that goes on in the puppet practicing. So if your church is blessed with puppeteers, that's wonderful. Get them hooked into that. Kids love puppets. But if you have a great idea and you want to add that in, it's not a great idea. It is overwhelming, and it doesn't work. So, and then opening and closing, that creates the order. Since we don't have buildings, when we open up, all the kids go to this one area where we have the worship and all the different things that go on, and they sit there. Parents feel really comfortable with that, and we're watching that area. And then when we close off, they all go back to that at the end of the day. And again, it's a way to keep order. And then the last thing here is the follow-ups. We have done follow-ups for the first 3 years, but we found that people didn't respond very well to the follow-ups. And so we have discontinued that, but you can find follow-ups on Calvary curriculum for that too. All right. Let's go to the camp outreach. I was going to do that, but time-wise, this will work better now. I'm going to show you a short clip of our camp outreach, one of the most fruitful ministries, because you've got a child for 5 days, no VCRs, iPods, any of that stuff is allowed up there, and you just get to disciple them and have a good time. So we'll show this and then talk a little bit about it and then take a break.
Say that again. Are we taking anything on the bus?
What was that, huh?
Camp. Camp is an awesome privilege to be a part of. I have been involved with camping, this kind of camp situation, probably for, well, I don't know, 20 years. And it was fun before the campground was created and built. It was built in 1994. But before that, we would just get all kinds of campgrounds because we didn't have one at church. And we would lease them and for the week or whatever and bring up our own cooks. And on your outline, your notes there, campgrounds, finding a campground, if you don't have one to go to, you can look at cities and counties and different places if there are those around your area. And then you lease them and rent them for that week or however long it's going to be it summer or winter. but you're going to need to look in advance, way in advance, sometimes as much as a year in advance to be able to reserve some of these places. But so in 1994, Pastor Chuck opens up the youth camp up in Green Valley, which is what you just saw. And I'll never forget it. We would go to what we call the Dust Bowls. These were just bad places. There was nothing, no grass, no nothing. And the kids still had fun. They had a good time. But when this campground opened up, it was grass, and it was just like a resort. And really, the question still remained the same in a child's mind. It wasn't so much how great it was, because it's one of the best camp sites anywhere for kids. But it was, as soon as I got off the bus, all right, Larry, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, it wasn't how cool the cabin was built and how what a great field. And this, it was, what are we going to do? And so you got to understand with kids, if you go to do a camp, it doesn't matter the facility as much as it matters, what are you going to do? And that's what they care about. Will they have a time of their life, or will it be a boring time? So when you have to go get your own campground, you've got to find a cook. A lot of campgrounds don't provide cooks, which means you've got to find someone that can cook and someone that can buy this stuff. And it gets very involved. It's very difficult. So the best thing to do is to find a campground that does supply their own cook. But that doesn't always happen. But it's quite involved. Now, typically, if it's a smaller group of kids, say 60 kids, that can work. And you can eat like kings and queens sometimes for the same price as if you get in a bigger one. But the camp that we just saw, that one, you typically have anywhere from 350 to 400 kids at a time. You wouldn't want to try to cook for something like that. But then on their theme, kind of an overall direction for camp, and you need to determine whether or not you're going to do different things pertaining to that, and that's part of organizing and getting it ready. Transportation, how are you going to get there? If you have 50 or 60 kids, it's probably recommended to rent a bus. But where do you go to get a bus that won't break down on the way up? So there's all those considerations, and you have to ask around what's a good bus company and what will work. Or get volunteers to drive up. But if you get volunteers to drive your kids up, you need to know who they are that are driving them up. And it's probably highly recommended to get some kind of release forms for them. You need to find out if your insurance is covered if you've got different people that are driving them up. So there's a lot of issues that come into play when you're trying to transport kids up there. Bible study books. You can't get them anywhere, really. Although there is a website that I've heard about. It's called CalvaryCurriculum.com. And on CalvaryCurriculum.com, there are some books there that you can freely download that are camp books. And we're doing one this year that will be put up as soon as we're done. And we will continue to add to that. But again, you've got to figure out what you're going to use. Are you going to break into families? We break into families. What that means is there's a man and a woman counselor. They each have anywhere from 6 to 8 kids, and they're responsible for them the whole time. And then those two, the man and woman, the boys and the girls, comprise one family, and they do things together. And it helps keep a camp experience organized for the younger kids. Crafts, make them fun, make them enjoyable, and make them to where they want to keep them forever. When I used to oversee the camps, my signature, if you would, at camp was leather crafts. And sometimes they worked out and sometimes they didn't. They were on the side of kind of being hard sometimes to complete and finish. But when they did get them completed and finished, they kept them. They loved them. You know, little wallets and different things like that. I was over at a plaza that I never go to, an indoor mall, and I hear, Larry, 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 from a distance. And here's this guy that was from another church that had gone to camp, And he pulls out his wallet from his back and he says, I still got it. I still got it. You know, and it's like, because it's not just the wallet or the thing, the bag that was made or whatever. It's the experience that it relates to. And if it's quality stuff, the kids really will keep them. And so we really put a lot of energy into it versus paper crafts and things like that that the kids will eventually, if it makes it down the mountain, throw away. So it's something that we put a lot of time in. T-shirts goes along with the theme, and finding people that will make them and do a good job can be a challenge. Application for camp, I didn't bring any, but you need to have some kind of application with information that helps about the medical of the child, the doctor, the phone numbers, anything that they're allergic to, just so you know what you're dealing with that camper. Counselors need screening. You need to know who's coming up. Camp is a very bad place if you don't know who's coming up. And so we typically, our rule of thumb is our counselors come from our teachers. If they don't come from our teachers, we know them so well that we know before God we're okay. Those will still ask for applications and do that, all that work, if they aren't in the children's ministry. But it's pretty rare that that happens. Most of the time, the people that come up as counselors like, you know, being there and want to be there, and they're a part of the children's ministry and come year after year after year. So it's not typically a problem for us. We're already set with all of our counselors for this coming summer. It just, and we have people that want to go up that right now, unless somebody backs out, we don't even have any help for that. But it's a great time. Watch. I tell my counselors at our meeting, watch what your child looks like. The kids that you get, you'll meet on Monday morning, and look at their faces. Watch their attitudes, because you're going to see a different child by Friday. You're going to see a whole different thing. Even when they're tough, they're going to soften, and they're going to, many of them come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and that changes everything. And year after year, I get that feedback from the counselors. Wow, look at that kid. Matter of fact, I had somebody just tell me recently that his wife was a counselor that texted him, and on the text, he was down the mountain and said something like, wow, lives are being changed. Tears, tears, tears. Because she was just crying over seeing how God touches the hearts of these kids. So it's a great, great opportunity. Camp schedule. You need to have a schedule. You need to follow the schedule. And you need to figure that out. I don't know if we have any camp information up on Calvary Curriculum. But one of these days, if we don't, we'll get it up there. Outside of the camp books that you can use. And those camp booklets, by the way, we're starting to redesign them where we could do Monday morning Bible study, Monday evening, Tuesday morning, and so forth. We're taking that out with the new revisions, and we're just putting Bible study 1, Bible study 2, and so forth, so that people can use those on a Wednesday night study if they want to. One of them is sowing to the Spirit. The other one's God's love. Another one is, actually, Pastor Chuck let me rewrite into a camp curriculum on why grace changes everything. And so there's all kinds of stuff that's there that can be used even inside the church. So just some information that might be needful. Let's go ahead and take our break. And then we'll be back here in 10 minutes. And we'll go over another way that is absolutely phenomenal. In my opinion, it is the greatest way to go into the United States to touch kids' lives. And looking forward to sharing that with you. It is absolutely phenomenal. These other things are wonderful. They're just absolutely great camping, doing park outreaches. But this next thing that we're going to look at after the break is, in my opinion, the greatest impact in a child's life for going out for outreaches. So See you in 10 minutes.